At the 8 o'clock service, one of our parishioners, before he read the Old Testament lesson, said, "We've all heard this a million times before," and then started to read it, which got our attention, I must admit. Those of us who are a bit dopey after losing an hour's sleep, particularly the preacher, woke up and went, "Oh, right, that's what the reading is this morning." Actually, I've been thinking about it this week and thought exactly that. Gosh, we've heard this forever, the Ten Commandments. We all know them, or at least we've heard them, and over and over again. There could be nothing new here, I'm sure. I'll move on to the temple. And then I remembered my father. I grew up with, of course, I had two parents and two older brothers, and I had the distinct pleasure of being quite a lot younger. So when I was a teenager, my brothers were long gone, and my parents had just retired. So I was old enough to enjoy time with them, and they were young enough to enjoy time with me still. And so we would go on a day like today to church and then go cross-country skiing all afternoon together, them with their friends and me tagging along. We would do all sorts of things together that I now look back and realize was a great gift and a great blessing. I was a pretty normal teenager, and so I was, of course, perfect. And I was always well-behaved, and you all know that's not true. My mother and I had an interesting relationship. I think we were a lot alike. And so we would be fine, 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 and then it would be like oil and water all of a sudden. But my dad was always perfect. You fathers know what that's like with your daughters. And it was a wonderful relationship. We did lots of things together. So every once in a while, I would ask him for advice. I would say, "You know, Dad, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think?" So he always took me seriously and sat down and would tell me what he thought, gave me his opinion. Didn't tell me what to do, but tell me what he thought I might want to do. And then I'd ask him again a few while later, "What do you think about this? Should I do this or should I wear this?" Never ask your father that question. And he would tell me what he thought. This went on, of course, for quite some time. And then finally one day I asked him his opinion on something. And he looked at me, Eleanor, and said, "I don't know why you're asking me, because you're just going to do whatever you want to do anyway." The first time he said it, I was a bit insulted and surprised. By the third time, I realized he was absolutely right. I was asking his opinion, but I was not necessarily going to do it. And looking back, I realized that that taught me something eventually. It taught me that I needed to listen to someone's answer, even if it wasn't something I was going to do, but at least to listen and consider it, no matter what. And so I kind of think that today's Old Testament reading is a little bit like my father. It's God kind of saying, "Here's some things that you should really do or not do, but I know you're going to do them anyway. I know you're going to do them anyway. You're going to do whatever you want, but you asked, and here they are." So my question about that is, that was a long time ago. That was a very long time ago when the Ten Commandments were written down. But are they still relevant? I can't remember the things I asked my father's opinion on, maybe one or two, and he was right. He was right. But we have these written down, and we can remember them, but as our parishioner said at 8 o'clock, we hear them so often, are they even relevant anymore? So let's look at them. You shouldn't covet anything of your neighbors. Nothing. Not one thing. Not their new car. Not the fact that their relationship looks a lot better than yours. Not their greener grass. Nothing. Not their wife, not their husband, not their partner, not their dog or their cat. Not the scarf they're wearing this morning. Nothing. Is that relevant today? Oh, I think so. I think so. Last year, one of my friends and I were going kayaking, and I said, "Look at my boat." And there on my kayak was a brand new compass that I had installed on the front of my kayak. And my friend said, You didn't have that last month. I said, no, you wanted mine, didn't you? Yes. My friend's boat had a compass. It looked great. So I got one. That's a silly example. But the coveting, especially of other people's perhaps attitudes or, you know, just how they are, is something that we do all the time. And we put ourselves down in comparison. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, all you have to do is think about the one rumor you've heard last week. How many people heard a rumor in the last week? Yeah, a few. Oh, good. Some honest people in the congregation this morning. Excellent. Yes, one rumor. And so we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor or something that you did not know, whether it was a rumor or not, but you passed it on just in case it was true. We do it all the time. You shall not steal. Okay, perhaps we haven't all stolen something this week. But I suspect somewhere in your life you took something that didn't belong to you. Whether it was an idea, a paragraph from a book, or somebody's shoes that you thought they might not miss at the skating, you know, like those are better boots than mine. Whatever it is, exactly anything, we do indeed steal. You shall not commit adultery. Well, I'm not one to judge about that, but I do think that we do that in a sense that we are not always faithful to ourselves, let alone those we're in relationship with. And so in today's world, adultery may have a different look on it, but are we faithful to ourselves and our relationship with God even? I think not always. You shall not murder. I have not recently killed anyone, but I have uttered the words. I would like to kill them. As recently as this morning, I believe, which is terrible for a priest on a Sunday morning to say that, but it is true. And so you probably all know that each one of us has a great capacity for good and joy and love, and we also have a great capacity for hatred and violence, and it can twist on a moment's notice. A moment's notice. And so, yes, I might have uttered, I'm going to kill that person because they whatever. But in life, it can move that fast. We have seen it in our news, in our papers, and maybe you've experienced it when you thought you were irritated and the next thing you knew, you were slamming a door that quickly. Honor your mother and your father. This is for you, Robin Leslie. And you, Eleanor and Julian. But not really, it's for all of us. What about our elders? Our elders, not just those who are older than us, but those who have wisdom that we maybe do not have. Do we honor them? Do we listen to them and care for them and take that and make it part of our lives? There's an awful lot about elder abuse, too, these days. People who are taken advantage of and maligned and used simply because they're of a different age. And it is sad, but it is so true. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, it's lovely you're all here. But I remember when I grew up that there was one farmer in our community who worked on Sunday. We, of course, I milked the cows. They wouldn't appreciate us skipping a day. But we only did on our farm the work that was absolutely necessary, and the rest of the day was a day of rest. And there was one farmer that we all knew that would plow his fields or till the land or take in the hay on Sunday. And it was not appreciated. Today, we don't have a Sabbath anymore, really, in our lives. We can go shopping any day of the week. We can pick up groceries on the way home today. We often work on Sunday. It's a little weird for me to say this. I usually work on Sunday. But do we take a Sabbath? Do we take a day, or at least a part of a day, at least once a week, for ourselves to refresh and regenerate? I think if we did, our world would be a much happier place, especially North America. And so taking a Sabbath is really important. We had our parish council retreat yesterday and Friday night, and I was saying yesterday to the new parish council that there are some people who are taking a Sabbath right now because they've done things for the church for a long time and they need a break. And sometimes they have to leave the parish to get a break because they've given so much here that they're kind of drained and they need to get something else somewhere else. And I always say, great, can I help you find a new place? What do you need? Like, what do you need to take a Sabbath? Go for it. And someone said, really? You're that enthusiastic about people leaving? I said, it's not about people leaving. It's about people taking time to figure out what they need right now to refresh and restore them, because we're no good to anyone if we don't have a Sabbath. And then, of course, the one about not making wrongful use of the name of the Lord. Who even knows what that means any day? Because every time we think about something in vain, we're thinking of really the God who created us. Every time we think of something negatively, we're taking the name of the Lord in vain, because what God created is good. And then the last one, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, I think in a consumer society, we can't really say anything about this, because we all worship something besides God, whether it be our job or someone or, as I said, our belongings. We all worship something else. So this is kind of pressing, isn't it? Really? You might think we're all terrible, but there's two things that I notice about today. One is we haven't changed a heck of a lot in all those years since the Ten Commandments were given to us. We are still struggling to understand them and live them. And in all those years, God hasn't changed. God is still sort of taking on the attitude of my dad. Here it is. Here's some things that would be helpful for you. I think if you lived this way, you'd really feel good about it, but I know you're going to do whatever you want anyway. And then God forgives us when we do, every minute of every day. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. A lot of old words today, a lot of old ways today, but we have a new context and a new opportunity every minute to hear the words, to listen to them, and to live them out in our best possible way and support each other as we do it. So may old words result in new actions, and may we be blessed by the God who doesn't change and who helps us get it through it all. Amen.